Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. You know, we're locally grown radio. James, Seth, Melissa here with you. We hope you're having a great day out there, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
We are still going to be giving you a chance to win some River Kings tickets. Seth has one. I have one. We're going to combine them together and give them to you and put them in your pocket.
That's right.
Be listening for that. That's going to be coming up soon. Looking forward to it. Also going to get into some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. Right now, we're going to kick off with some entertainment news. And since there is no Playmakers today, Seth and I are going to take over the show for a second. Melissa's going to count down. We get a minute. We get a minute to do this, Seth.
All right.
Aaron Judd is the American League home run king.
Yep.
Last night against the Texas Rangers, he hit number 62 of the season, breaking the record set by fellow Yankee Roger Maris at 61.
Very cool.
On the books, Judge is only seventh on the all-time list, thanks to home run race between three National League sluggers from 98 to 2001.
Yep.
Of course, the Bonds, McGuire, and Sosa run.
Yep.
That is, you know, got the humongous asterisk.
It's tainted.
To it.
It's tainted. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of people consider Judd the real home run king of Major League Baseball now that he's one dinger ahead of Roger Maris.
Yeah, that's fine.
And that includes Roger Maris Jr., who tweeted, quote, "Congratulations to Aaron Judd and his family on Aaron's historic run. He has definitely been a baseball season to remember. You are all class and someone who should be revered. For the majority of the fans, we now celebrate a new clean home run king."
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Corey Yomarins from Dallas caught the ball, and he says he doesn't know what he's going to do with it yet.
Okay.
Its worth has been estimated at $2 million.
Oh, geez. Just give it back to Aaron Judge.
Give it back.
Please. Give it back to Aaron Judge.
You'll get more than two. You'll get a lot back, man.
You'll get a lot back.
I give it to him. Give it to him. Or give it to, you know, give it to him so they give it to Cooperstown and all that.
Exactly. We want the history. Yes.
Seth, do you? You are much more in tune with baseball and much more of a bigger baseball fan than I am. I love baseball, but I don't pretend to as much as you do. Is Aaron Judd your home run king? Your single season home run king now?
You know, I'm not gonna say that he is. I like the fact that it's the American League, and so I can say, you know, that. I'm sorry, I'm gonna stay with the actual records. At this point, as much as, you know, I'm not a big fan of what happened with McGuire and Sosa and Bonds, you know, all of this stuff that happened around it and everything. It's still part of the game, as much as you may not like it. The thing that interests me about this is, interesting, they're from Roger Maris' son talking about this. When Roger Maris was making his run in 1961, the same thing was happening. People were like, oh, he's got more games than Ruth did.
Yep.
So how does that count?
Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, when he did it, there was the commissioner of baseball, Ford Frick, had been a very close friend of Babe Ruth, had been his ghostwriter for newspaper articles and stuff. And he's the one that implemented the first asterisk, which was totally unfair to Roger Maris.
Yeah.
Completely unfair to him. Yeah. So we've been dealing with this, the home run records for everybody. It's
no different than any other sport.
Exactly.
It changes through the eras and everything.
Yeah.
I will say this. These guys, Sosa, McGuire, Bonds, never going to get in the Hall of Fame. And when history looks back and says, well, wait a minute, these guys had this run here and this, why are they not in the Hall of Fame?
Yep.
People are going to look into that and find, oh, steroids, oh, this, this, and this. They're going to pay for their crimes to the end of time.
Yep.
As long as there's baseball, they're going to pay for this. Now, did they really pay for it? Well, they're out of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
and to me, that's as close as you're going to get.
Yeah, they still made millions of dollars, and
when this first all happened, when it was first being brought up, and everybody that it was coming out, and there was the court hearings at the Supreme Court, and all these things. I remember sitting there with my oldest friend Chris, and him looking at me, and he's like, "You know, Bonds was hitting those homers off of guys who were doing steroids too."
That's a good point.
You know, if everybody was doing that, not that everybody was doing that.
No.
But let's say that 70% of MLB players were doing steroids at that time, which is, that's not my number. That's the number that they are predicting were doing that.
Yep. Yep.
How many of those home runs did he hit off of guys who were also juicing? I mean, so they were both essentially on the same page. And anybody that knows anything about baseball can tell you that steroids do not help you make contact.
They don't.
You've still got to be able to do those things.
Yep.
Ask Joey. Ask Joey Gallo about striking out, not about steroids.
Don't associate him with that.
I'm sure he's clean. He would have caught him by now or something. And if he's not, I mean, that stuff's not working.
No.
It's like, Yes, yeah. But so it's each their own, and just weren't noteworthy, I thought, that we had to touch on as a show.
And I agree. And I congratulate. I think it's a great thing for baseball. It's really cool. It's been fun to watch this year. He didn't get to do it at Yankee Stadium, but, you know, that's the game. But still, he's gonna. It'll go down in the books as the American League most home runs in the American League. So I celebrate that.
I was also.
And you've now extended your minute by about four.
Yes, yeah, we have. Yeah, we get it.
Figured.
just talking just baseball. I point that out for you.
Thank you.
Extra innings, Melissa. Extra innings. I was really trying to find a more positive note to start on because I hate starting and ending on bad notes with our hours. And not to say this is a bad note, but it is a little, it is sad. It is a melancholy story. Loretta Lynn passed away yesterday. Mm-hmm. She was 90 years old. Her family released a statement. Our precious mom passed away peacefully this morning, October 4th, in her sleep at home at her beloved ranch in Hurricane Mills. Mm. The world knew her as Coal Miner's Daughter. It was the title of her signature song, her autobiography, and the 1980 movie that was based on the book. Sissy Spacek played her in the film and won Best Oscar for it.
Yeah, incredible performance on that one.
Still a great movie. Still holds up.
It's
still
a good movie, yeah.
Still a great movie. Loretta's musical career started in the late 50s and kicked into gear in the 60s with hits like You Ain't Woman Enough, To Take That Man, To Take My Man, Don't Come Home A-Drinkin', With Lovin' On Your Mind, Fist City. She was a brilliant songwriter who spoke the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let me just say that one more time. She was an incredibly brilliant songwriter who was one of the early women to not shy away from, I'm going to write this. I'm going to write my story. I'm going to write other women's story. And these record producers who are old white men who are telling me not to, guess what? Do you want my work or not?
Yep.
This was Loretta Lynn before she's Loretta Lynn.
Yep.
She's doing these things.
Yep.
She's standing on this hill that she is going to die on and everything. And thank God she did, because who knows, as we've heard many people coming out from everybody from Dolly Parton to Carrie Underwood, I don't know if I would be here without Loretta Lynn.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible right there. That's remarkable. There's people who throw out the words. I've heard this in interviews. And now we're about to talk to the queen of country music, Dolly Parton. And her first thing, uh-uh, honey. Uh-uh. No, I am not the queen of country music. Loretta Lynn is the queen of country music.
Yeah.
I've seen her do that at least two interviews.
Yep. Yep.
It's remarkable, the life that she lived.
It is. Really cool.
She didn't shy away from social issues.
No.
There was no issue she shied away from. If she cared about it, if she thought it was noteworthy to say something, she was going to say something, even until her late age. Here's a fact that still surprises some people. In 72, Loretta became the first female to win a Country Music Entertainer of the Year award. Took till 72 for that
72.
To happen. Her career slowed down in the 80s and 90s, but she came roaring back in 2004 with her album Van Leer Rose, some of her greatest work.
Yeah.
It was produced by Jack White from the White Stripes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just showing you the influence she had on not just country, but other artists.
Everybody, every musical person has something to say about Loretta Lynn, yeah.
Her final album was Still Women Enough, came out last year.
Jeez.
Loretta's last album came out last year. That's incredible.
When she was in her late 80s. Come on, man.
Loretta had 24 number one singles and 11 number one albums.
Wow.
What a career.
How do you accomplish so much?
That's incredible.
This quote of hers is pretty good clue. I'm not a lazy person. If I work, I'll be telling stories. God gives you life, and you do with it what you want. If you turn out bad, that's up to you. If you turn out good, that's also up to you.
Hmm. There you go.
Yep.
And I know that we kind of went through a little bit of her work there, but come on, it's Loretta Lynn. We got to take more than a moment on this. I've got 10 facts about Loretta Lynn's remarkable life here.
Okay.
I thought these would just be fun to go over, but I also didn't want to run over either of you if you had anything you wanted to say about her or anything.
No, I was just kind of, you know, what you were saying was all really cool. I mean, she had a remarkably long career and she blazed trails. She did things you would not expect. The one with working with Jack White. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really because that was when Jack White was at the height of his popularity too. And he's like, I want to work with Loretta Lynn. Whoa, okay.
Yeah.
And that's great. And then she, I'm guessing because it had something to do, maybe he challenged her or something, she kind of got a new lease on her writing. And she, but wow, all of a sudden, bam, her writing was like, there you go again.
Yeah.
She still got it.
Yeah. Just an incredible artist. And,
yep.
And just to, Melissa, I'm sorry, did you have anything?
No.
I didn't think so. I thought I heard you, but I also I got a like a clicking noise in my headphones.
Uh-oh.
Sometimes it sounds like somebody's going to talk. So I didn't know if I kept running over Melissa's sentence or something. I'm so sorry, Mel.
No, Melissa's turning into a cricket, so, you know.
I'll just tell the temperature over here. It's okay.
Nice, nice. She was named after child actress Loretta Young because of her mom was a huge fan.
Interesting.
Young won the Best Actress Oscar in 1948 for The Farmer's Daughter. Kind of funny and silly and interesting and everything, how, you know, some 20 years later or whatever, Sissy Spacek would win for Coal Miner's Daughter.
Yep, that's right.
Loretta was so poor growing up. Her mom used newspapers as wallpaper. They lived in a small cabin in the mountains with eight kids, and it got cold. So her mom would glue newspapers to the wall to add a little more insulation.
Wow.
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 She loved to eat rabbit and squirrel, but not possum. She talked about it in a 2004 cookbook, You're Cooking It Country. And Loretta even had a cookbook, Loretta Lynn.
Oh, man.
You're Cooking It Country. Her dad loved possum, but she didn't care for it.
Possum's
love
pretty
it.
Greasy.
Yeah? Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that. Huh.
Wait, you've had it?
No, I've just read about it.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Interesting, though, still.
Yeah, the kitchen is open. Let's talk about possum.
Very interesting part of her life that I didn't know much about, but Loretta got married very young. Some sources say she was 15, but she told Esquire in 2017 that she was 13 when she married husband Oliver Lynn.
Wow.
He was about 6 years her senior. They stayed married until until his death in 1996.
Wow. Amazing.
There's a lot to unwrap there.
Yeah.
But I'm just, especially with her passing, I'm just going to focus on the fact that they were together that long.
Yes.
That they had that long of a romance,
right.
That long of a love.
Not uncommon in that area at that time.
Yeah.
So we'll just say that.
Anybody wants to start getting out the, you know, cancel cards or anything like that, these people are already gone. Leave them
long
alone.
Gone.
Leave them alone. Let's just learn from things and try to be better and
there
move on.
There you go.
And a lot of people don't know her younger sister, Crystal Gayle. Crystal is only 71, but about 19 years younger than Loretta.
Wow. Now that is an age difference. I do. Another very good singer-songwriter, Crystal Gayle.
Yeah.
She's had quite a good career, too.
I immediately saw it, and I'm like, wait a minute. Crystal Gayle?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
I didn't know that either.
She had six kids and became a grandmother at 34. She had twins in 64. Then 2 years later, her oldest daughter, Betty Sue, had Loretta's first grandchild.
Wow.
She was good friends with Patsy Cline. She was incredible friends with Patsy Cline and claimed she used to see her ghost. She wrote about it in her 2020 book, Me and Patsy Kicking Up Dust. It's an incredible book, by the way. It's a very good book. It took me a while to read, but it's a very good book. Patsy, of course, passed away in a plane crash in 63.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I part of the reason you're hearing the passion in my voice about Loretta Lynn and everything is because I didn't know her as a musician, really. I knew her as a person and the interviews I would see. My Nana and Papa didn't know a lot of country music, but then my Papa liked Johnny Cash and my Nana loved Patsy Cline. And I heard Patsy Cline's as a young man. I'm like, God, this is one of the greatest voices I've ever heard. It's like her and Billie Holiday. That's it. Those are my two favorite voices. I do a little digging, and I find out that there's this lady, Loretta Lynn, that really inspired Patsy Cline and really helped her find her voice and all these things. And that's part of where my love for Loretta Lynn comes from is Patsy Cline. It's so cool to think of how – it's sweet, and it's also a little melancholy to think of how she never really got over her passing. Like in 2020, she wrote a book about it. You know, I mean, that kind of thing. It's just, it speaks to how big of a heart she had, but also kind of empathize with her a bit about that.
Yeah, exactly.
She was also good friends with Sissy Spacek. They got very close when Sissy played her in the 80s film Coal Miner's Daughter. It was important to Sissy that she played that part right, you know? And Keith Urban jumped out of her cake at her 87th birthday concert in 2019.
Really?
Yep. When the show got announced, she joked that that's all she wanted, so he made it happen.
Oh, my gosh.
He reached out to her people, found out, apparently there was a lot of maneuvering that had to make this happen because it happened very, he heard it, and, her birthday was, a week or two later or
something.
Wow. A big shout-out to Keith Urban.
Yeah.
Making that happen because he went to her place and all this stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
It's pretty cool. Several of Loretta's songs got banned from the radio. The most famous was The Pill in 75 because it was about contraception.
Wow.
How noteworthy is that today?
Yeah. My goodness.
But it still hit number 5 on Billboard's Hot Country Singles and number 70 on the Hot 100, even though radio stations wouldn't play it.
Yep. That's impressive.
There's just so much. Taking some of her music, read any of her writing, check out her interviews. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can celebrate such an amazing life.
Yep.
I did want to wrap up our entertainment section with just mentioning to people that we are just a couple days away from the newest season of Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Their main stage productions kick off with The Odd Couple coming up on October 7th. They are going to be hitting the stage, 7 o'clock. Be sure to get your tickets at wrctheater.org. You got a couple of some favorites that you've seen over the years on the WRCT stage. Tim in there is Felix. Many people have seen him there. Mm-hmm. And you got some locals around here, too, at our building. You know, of course, Heather, who used to work with us and everything. Yep. Good morning to Heather out there.
Yeah.
Break a leg this week. If I don't talk to you, Heather, break a leg during the run. And, of course, Seth, who is playing Oscar.
Yes, I am.
How are you feeling?
I am Oscar Madison.
Nice. Oh, nice. Oh, I like that. How are you feeling with it, brother?
Oh, I'm feeling good. It's we had a rehearsal last night. We had a couple of people that came in to see it. You know, they haven't checked it out yet.
Nice.
And the review we got back from them was very positive. They said, you don't need to rehearse anymore. Hey, cool. We're great. That's awesome. Awesome. Right. So no, we're really happy. We're ready to go, and we're excited that it's starting soon. I don't want anyone to think that it's because I'm not enjoying it. I'm actually having a ball playing Oscar because he's just a fun character to play. Yeah. But when we wrap it up, I'll be ready. it's a very grueling part. It is. So I'll be ready to wrap it up when we're ready. But come on out. Come see us, everybody. Mm-hmm. We want to see you there.
I'm excited.
Any Neil Simon show is a tour de force.
Oh,
it's a lot to do. It's a lot to work on.
Lots of words.
You make me think of the famous football quote, they pay me for Monday through Saturday. They get Sunday for free.
Right.
The rehearsal process, the grind of memorizing your lines and all these things, that's the work. Getting on stage, that's where you get to have fun.
That's where the fun is. Yep.
And watch them have fun this Friday. They're going to have shows going on Friday, Saturday, this week on 7 o'clock for both times. And then they're coming back next week, and they'll be there the 13th, 14th, and 15th, all 7 o'clock shows on the 15th, 2 o'clock matinee.
Yes.
We're going to talk more. We'll have WRCT in to wrap up Morning Magazine on Friday, but I do want to let everybody know that auditions will be coming up Monday and Tuesday, October 17th and 18th over at the Centralia Center. If you can be a part of this show, whether it's behind stage or off on stage, be a part of it, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out more and get your tickets at wrctheater.org. Take a break, come back, and have some more fun. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Mel, and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there, everyone.
Yes, indeed.
Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy this weather. Enjoy this day.
Right.
And for a moment, I just wanted to take a moment to touch on something. Today is the Yom Kippur.
It is the Day
of Atonement for my people, for our tribe, for Jews. It's an interesting day and not very well known. Hanukkah is probably the most known of the holidays.
Right.
But this one is an important one. And it's one that I have a reason why, because I understand that there's probably like just me and my mother and we're the only Jews in the state. There's a reason. I am going somewhere with this.
Okay.
Yom Kippur is the holiest, most important day of the year in Judaism, known as the Day of Atonement. It began at sundown yesterday, and it will wrap up today at sundown, as Jewish holidays are traditionally done from sundown to sunset. From sundown to sundown.
Yep.
The last of the 10 days of penance that begin with Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Yom Kippur commemorates the day Moses came down from Mount Sinai after seeing God's divine forgiveness for the Israelites who sinned against him by worshiping a golden calf idol. This is all, interesting if you like history and all that.
Mm-hmm.
The actual words mean Yom means day in Hebrew, and Kippur means atone, Day of Atonement.
Right.
And for me, I don't know what confessional. Like I have a lot of friends who have done that over the years, and every one of them, whenever they get done, they usually say something like, "I feel clean. I feel like cleansed,
renewed,
that kind of thing." Yes. that is what this day is for us. Mm-hmm. My mother and I, now many Jews celebrate this differently, but for as long as I can remember, whether it was Lake Michigan or the Wisconsin River here in Rapids, my mom and I will go down to the river, and sometimes it's bird seed, sometimes it's little pieces of bread, whatever is, you know, safe for these animals. We will think of the past year. And not just the bad things, not just the good things, literally everything that was important to us that happened. Mm-hmm. For everything we think of, we toss a piece of bread or a seed into the water, mm-hmm. and we let it go. Mm-hmm. We learn from it, we take it, we grow, but we are becoming a new person after this.
Nice.
We don't forget, we just move on. We mm-hmm. just continue. And I'm not a religious person. I've said this before on the air. Mm-hmm. I admire religion in many ways, and I admire many people. The three strongest people in the world that I've ever known, their faith was incredibly important to them. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going there with this, because not everybody has a faith or cares that much about those things. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to put that on anybody. Nobody should. Anybody who's pushing those things on you ain't doing it for the right reasons.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Something that we could all, you know, learn or do or grow or feel something from is this. Like, you mm-hmm. don't have to be a Jew to do this. You can do this kind of thing. And I feel so good afterwards. I don't feel like a brand new person necessarily or anything like that. I feel reborn. Okay. Renewed, like yeah. you said, Seth. It's the
refreshed,
only
refreshed, you know. Yeah.
It's literally the only thing in my life that is like this for me. Wow. It's the closest thing I have to religion, where I get done doing this. And every year since I was a little kid, sure enough, I feel so much more in tune with the world, with life, with just in general, just like all those things. And again, it's something that I think that one of the beauties of Judaism is that you don't necessarily have to, you know, wear a yarmulke to do these things. you don't have to have a black belt in guilt to be able to be to celebrate these things.
No, not at all. It's you can do. I mean, and that's the beauty of it. It's something that if you want to share in it, you absolutely can.
We will go to Melissa's news now. We'll come back and have some more fun. And, you know, we were talking entertainment before. We're talking about a brand new, you know, Day of Atonement and all these things and a fresh new start. We got a fresh new started hockey season going. Yeah, that's the segue I made, everybody. That's the segue I made. And as a Jewish hockey fan, I can make that joke.
Sure.
Ice is water frozen. That's
thank
all.
You, Seth. You're just helping me out even more. We have the River Kings on our sister station. Every one of their home games all season long of the 22-23 season. Mm-hmm. Going to be there on Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI, including this Saturday where the River Kings are going to be there starting at 7, taking on the Minnesota Moose. Want to catch that game?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right there on WIRI. Be sure to catch it, everybody. But how would you like to go to the game?
Even better.
How'd you like to go for free?
The best.
Nice.
Give us a call at 424-2600. Tell me one of your favorite River Kings players. It doesn't even have to be a current player. It could be somebody from the past or something like that. But I want a favorite River Kings player called up. Give me that, and we will give you two tickets to go see your River Kings. And these are general admission. If you can't make it this weekend, they got a lot more home games coming up. So call up 424-2600. Win yourself some River Kings tickets and support the Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. You can find out more and get your tickets at riverkingshockey.com. We'll play to Melissa's news and come back with a winner on mornings on WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good start to your Wednesday out there, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Big thank you to Phil from Quality Plus Printing for joining us earlier.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was good.
I had a great time with that and been having a great show here, you guys. Thanks so much for that. I appreciate the audience's feedback. Been getting some nice stuff from you guys out
there.
Nice. Really enjoying the show today. Appreciate you all. So I mention it because it may end right here. I don't know. Well, maybe, because I like to always fit a That Ain't Right story in around here, and mm-hmm. I guess this one kind of qualifies for it, but it also could just be a regular old story nowadays.
Okay.
I don't think it means what it would have meant 10 years ago or anything. Hmm. A lot has changed over the past 25 years, including Americans' belief in extraterrestrials. In a new poll, 57% of Americans say that the aliens definitely or probably exist, compared to just 25% who don't believe in aliens and another 19% who weren't sure. Back in 96, a similar poll on UFOs found that just 20% of people believed that aliens were responsible for the supposed UFO sightings, while a whopping 51% believed that there was a natural scientific explanation. And then 29%. Yeah, yeah. 7% of Americans believe we'll definitely make contact with aliens within the next 10 years. 13% are confident it will happen within 50 years. And 26% say that they know it will happen within 200 years, even if we're not there to see it.
Okay.
So what will the aliens be like? 44% of people say that they'll be far more technically advanced than humans. 7% say that they'll be less advanced. And 11% believe that they'd come in peace. 9% believe they'll hostile. And 4% say that they'll just be like in the movies. Green and large heads with green eyes. It'd be kind of hilarious and be the first time that a planet has ever been canceled. If that's the case. Yeah. If it turns out that like aliens, like the only reason we're going to meet them is so they can tell us we're canceled.
Yeah.
Right? You've been stereotyping aliens for decades.
Yeah.
Like, Earth canceled. Like, whoa. We just found out about you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they make contact just to cancel. That'd be funny. That would be hilarious.
Mm. Two important notes on this and then I'll get out of the way. We've all seen the data that the U.S. government has given out as far as addressing UFOs and calling them unidentified flying objects, you know, technically.
Yep. Or unidentified aerial phenomena, I think is what the Army actually calls the air.
Right. Yeah. I think there's a little of that in this that gives people a little more maybe confidence in saying this.
Yeah.
Because I actually don't think these numbers have changed. I think that people are just more willing to admit it now. The other part. How many subjects are we into nowadays where people just rip the Band-Aid off? There's no more tact. There's no more easing into something or giving people grace or these things.
Yeah.
Especially with so much of what we see in media.
Yes.
It's very, this is where I stand. My opinion matters. Here's a fact for you, sir. It doesn't matter. My opinion is more important than your facts and all this. Like, we run into that constantly, especially in the last 6-7 years, if not a little bit longer than that.
It's become a problem.
So people are a little more bold in with their takes, with their feelings, with their emotions and all that. So that part of it, that also leads into this. I think that there's a little of that in this, too.
I absolutely agree. I actually have a little issue with the way they stated things in that. Because they said now 57% of Americans believe that there are aliens exist. And then they said one before that aliens are the responsible for UFOs, you know, back in the 90s. Those are two different questions.
Yeah,
that's what I thought too.
Because I think it's reasonable to, if you're, you know, someone say, well, somewhere in this gigantic universe that we live, maybe there is life somewhere else in this gigantic, whether or not they've been here or are planning to get here or be here in the next 2,000 years, it's anybody's guess, right?
Yeah.
So that's why it's splitting hairs, maybe, but that's kind of my take on that whole thing. So
I think Melissa and I both were thinking something similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to. You don't have to answer this if you don't want to, you guys. So I will go ahead and jump
on
this.
Go ahead.
I have never. I guess when it's been asked of me, my answer has always been it seems very foolish to me because I'm a realist and my brain likes facts and likes science and these things. And we're dealing with a subject that we don't have any actual hard concrete evidence of. This is an alien. What have you? But actually, just because we don't have that doesn't actually play into my thinking with this. Since I was a little kid, I've thought this, that it seems incredibly foolish. Once you understand how big the galaxy is, it seems a little silly. But once you understand how big the universe is, it seems outright like arrogant to think that we're the only thing in the whole entire universe, which is bigger
that's
than
the word for it.
If anybody tells you they think they know how big the universe is, they're lying to you, okay? Nobody has any idea how big the universe
our
is.
Our little brains can't comprehend it.
Just literally cannot even wrap our brains around this. So you're telling me in the gigantic universe, the whole universe, we're the only thing. We're the only living, breathing thing. I shouldn't say only living, breathing thing. Only living, breathing thing that is conscious of being a living thing.
Breathing. There you go. That's a good way of putting it.
That kind of thing. It seems like arrogant and foolish and childish to think that. That's me. That's just my feeling, my take on this. I'm not putting that on anybody. And this is not a hill I'm willing to die on. I don't care that much about the subject, to be honest with you. I really don't. I mean, somebody, you know, somebody tells me that, I think differently of you. I'm like, that's on them. Because honestly, I don't care that much.
No, not really.
If an alien comes by, my first instinct, I got questions. That's all.
Yeah,
I want to interview my Morning Magazine.
The first show that they'll come to is Morning Magazine.
Hilarious.
That would be the one. We want us a small show to start.
There's a lot of really good interviewers out there. You sure you want to come to me? All right, if this is what you want to do.
No, I'm with you on that one.
It's an interesting topic. Yeah, I agree too, because it's a giant, giant universe out there, and we've so much that we are just now discovering.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh! Every day there's new amazing discoveries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and now they're starting now with the James Webb telescope. They're now able to see, starting to see planets that are Earth-like. The possibilities are getting greater and greater that maybe there is another planet like the Earth that something happened and there's life of some sort on that planet.
I mean, if you're the alien, this alien species that's going to come to our planet or whatever, and we want to check things out before we go down there and stuff, and you come there and it's a political season, they may not stick around. They may not stick around. I don't know. The other part of this, too, one last thing. So the technological part of this, where they say that 7% believe that they will be far more technically advanced than humans, and then 11% said that they will not be. How would they get here?
That was my first question, too.
We just got done talking about how big the universe is, okay? They would have to be to get here, because if they're like in the other side of the universe, if they're even in the Milky Way galaxy, it would take a billion years to get here. I mean, come on.
They didn't get here on the Wright brothers plane. I mean, it didn't happen from willpower.
You know, cosmic subway, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It is an interesting one. It is.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, and plenty more fun right here on Mornings on WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you at 9:48 on the clock on the morning show. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Got a That Ain't Right story here. But, this is one that I'm not going to pick on this person. I'm not.
Okay.
If you're an adult, I should not have to tell you this, but here we go. You should never stuff yourself into a washing machine.
Oh, jeez.
You have to tell somebody that?
Yeah, apparently at least one person, Melissa. This woman did it on a dare and got stuck inside. A first responder had to come and rescue her. Who knows if we were taking that first responder away from, something more important.
Exactly.
Or at the very least, having a break, every first responder deserves.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
She and her friend who was filming it thought it was funny until the first responder said she'll have to pay for the 911 call.
That's right.
And a firefighter in the comments section said they once found a dead guy who had been stuck for days inside a washer.
Oh my goodness. Man. Can I just say one thing? For every single person who complains about warning labels, this is why we have to do it.
Yep.
Because of knuckleheads like this.
Yep.
Well, and things like TikTok have not made this any better, because now they're looking for that, 5 seconds of fame by doing something incredibly stupid.
Yep.
I'll be completely honest with you guys, looking behind the curtain a little bit. I don't do stories because of that, because I don't want to sensationalize or popularize some of these silly things that we shouldn't be doing and everything. This one, the only reason I did is because of that latter part of it, where the firefighter mentions in the comments the seriousness of this.
You could die.
Where the first responder mentions, well, you're going to have to pay for that 911 call, that kind of thing.
Something to keep in mind as well. Yep.
Because I don't, this is where I'm not going to yell or anything like that, because I don't think any of that is common knowledge necessarily.
Right, yeah.
I could see this being done in, naive, maybe a little dumb, little that, but, I mean, that's not a crime necessarily.
Well, which one of us as a little kid didn't think about climbing into the dryer?
That's the other part, Mel. Yeah.
I mean, not the washer necessarily, because I don't know what kind of washer you guys had, but mine had the post in the middle that agitated back and forth.
Right, growing up, yes.
That doesn't sound like fun. Mm-hmm. But the dryer tumbling, I mean, come on, that looks like a amusement park ride. I think on a very small scale.
Yes.
You're so right about this, Melissa, and you have no idea how right you are in my house because growing up, I don't think people, especially the way I do the impression of my dad, hey, Jimmy, how you doing? You know, I always kind of make a little bit, over-exaggerate it a little bit,
right.
and I make light of it. I don't think people understand how competitive my father was. And he instilled in me and my sister and my brother and everything. And when we played hide and seek, it was on. You were really hiding. None of this going behind a little couch or something like that. Like, you truly tried to hide. And sure enough, me, I think I was 9, 8, whatever I was, see that washer and think, oh, hey, here we go. And it's at my nan and papa's house because my parents didn't have a washer and dryer at the time. So I think, oh, this is going to be great. I got like half of myself in there. I didn't get stuck, but I didn't even make it all the way in, and I dented the washer a little bit doing it. And I, to this day, I can picture my Nana's look on her face. She wasn't mad at me. She was worse. She was disappointed.
It's always worse.
I'd rather that woman had beaten me to near death than just looked at me with that look of hers or something like that.
Yeah.
So I can't pick on this person too much. I was 9, but I mean.
Well, that's the point that you just made. You were a kid.
Yeah.
This was not a child.
This is a grown adult.
This is an adult.
This
Come on.
This lady's at the very least in her mid to late 20s.
Exactly.
At the very least.
And they were filming it for views.
You got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, I mean, just really kind of. It's becoming more and more sad to me than anything else.
It is.
Like, you can't juggle. I mean, you can't do, there ain't something else you could do to try to get some views. I mean, you got to do these things because I don't know. I also doesn't seem like people seem to realize they're not laughing with you. They're not laughing with you at all in these things. They're laughing at you with these things.
They are.
I have an article here we're not going to get too in-depth in, but I did want to touch on this really quick. I encourage people to check it out. It's at thegoodnewsnetwork.org. Wolves likely were already man's best friend before dogs were even, domesticated.
Really?
There's growing evidence and more and more evidence to show that wolves were actually man's first best friend.
How about that?
Scientists from the cold north prove that wolves can distinguish between strangers and people they know and show much more affection to those familiar to them. What's more, the familiar person can help calm them down in a stressful situation. Their reactions show that an attachment prior to domestication 15,000 years ago could have led to the dogs we have today. Which we've heard that story before, dogs evolving from wolves and all this, and dogs being able to read the human expressions and everything because of this long time of domestication. But this is the part of it that I don't think people have realized, that it's its own species pretty much.
Yes.
Wolves, dogs, two very separate things.
So. Yes. Now, that's something. That is something. Wow.
It's a fascinating article.
It's really cool. Really,
if you're kind of interested in that kind of stuff, man, it's really in-depth, and they did a really nice job on that. I encourage people to check that out. Yeah. Some other good stories of the day. It's National Be Nice Day, so if anyone's a jerk to you today, shame on them.
Be nice to them anyway.
It's a great day to be, give yourself some grace, give others grace.
Yes.
Put a little extra nice into the universe.
Grace is good.
A mom in Fort Myers, Florida, tried to buy a birthday cake for her 3-year-old daughter on Friday, but the grocery store hadn't gotten any in because of Hurricane Ian.
Right.
A woman at the bakery tracked her down in the store a few minutes later, though, and said she found one in the freezer. She put it in. She put a tiara on it and wrote "Happy Birthday, Anna." And there's a cute picture of Anna loving it and everything. I don't believe. Looking at the picture, it looks like it was just a cake. It wasn't like a birthday cake, and she just kind of tried to turn it into one.
That's great. Nice. Good on them.
I mean, that's just the lady working at a grocery store.
Can I quick do a quick local That Ain't Right story? Yesterday, Beth and I went to lunch at a local restaurant. And one of the workers, they were busy. Unfortunately, the Diet Coke machine was out. You know, they needed to change the syrup or anything. So Beth and I sit down. Later on, the woman who was working at the register, she brought a Diet Coke out to Beth.
Oh.
Without without any prompting. Nice. It was very nice, and she was so, yeah, thank you for that. Anytime someone in a situation like that does something above and beyond, I'm very impressed. So good on
That's
you for doing
good
that.
Story of the day.
Yeah.
Nice. I got one I want to throw in too then, because my mom just recently retired. Her last day was last Friday and everything. Right. I just want to thank all the staff at McMillan and all these customers, patrons,
I think,
different
yeah.
people yes. that she met over the years and everything. Mm-hmm. A couple of them left her some flowers Aww. And different things. And this woman did no idea what to do with herself. Even now, she doesn't know. She did not expect yeah. any of that. Going up to it and everything, my mom kind of thought that she'd just be able to kind of like sneak out the back
oh,
kind
no.
of thing.
And no, stuff. No.
Yeah. And I'm just, thank you, everybody. Thank you for the one of the most special people in my life, making her feel special.
Awesome. Good job. Good job, everybody.
Nice work, community. A deaf dog in North Dakota fell onto an open sewer drain on Saturday and wiggled its way into a pipe. But firefighters and city workers dug for 3 hours and got him out.
Aww. Good. Good for them. But dogs, what are you doing? Come on, dogs. What's going on here? Huh?
Those smells, man. You know,
it's
those
the smells.
It,
yeah. Yep,
something. Mm-hmm. And not to be outdone, a cat.
Of course. It heard about that story. Yeah, no, yeah, what yeah. you think of BB?
A cat in the UK wandered into a school on picture day and jumped right up on the seat kids were using. So this is a story we did yesterday.
Yeah.
But there's a little more to it now.
Oh.
So apparently this school is kind of turning this cat into the mascot.
Oh.
And, it's got a second home now and all this. And it's actually been, and it's starting to like become a trend. Other people are starting to do this with their animals.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Now, this story, this also sounds familiar to you. It's because it's similar to a story we did the other day about a dog in Ohio that got its own yearbook photo. That was a good one, too.
And that's good.
And all of these, the same thing. The animal just wanders in and just literally, like with the cat, sat on the chair. The dog just kind of walked in there, but the cat sat on the chair.
Even better.
Going back to the domestication of these animals and how much they learn and see from us and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that takes me to where it is on us. It is our responsibility to, I'm not saying take care of every single animal on the planet or to put animals ahead of humans. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying we have a responsibility. You don't get to domesticate these animals and then, I'm good. Like, no. There are shelters out there. Yep. There are humane societies. There are your own animals to take care of. Yep. It's important to.
You made a good point. These are animals that we have turned into being dependent on us. So let's not shirk. All right?
Yeah. And one more good story of the day, and it's our friends at Family Natural Foods inviting us over for their 76th anniversary. Yeah. The morning show's got a road game this Friday. Melissa and I will be live and direct from Family Natural Foods this Friday from 7 to 10 over at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. Seth will be here running the board, taking care of you with the birthday and anniversary
club. I get
club
to kick it back, man.
Star of the day.
Take it easy. Yeah.
You've earned it. And Mel and I will be there having fun. I've been talking with Katrina about this, and they've got some great things lined up for us. We have a couple of ideas. We're going to have some people to interview. Mike Hittner might be down there. We'll talk to Stephen and Katrina and some of the staff. Mm-hmm. Got some sales reps that will be speaking with as well, and all that's great, but we want you to be there, right, Mel?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because we might interview you.
Yeah,
it's gonna even be better. That's cool.
20% off supplements, CBD, essential oils, free samples, door prizes, free gift with each purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I hope they have a 77th anniversary. I mean, you guys are doing too much.
Selling the store.
But that's who they are. They go above and beyond because that's the people there. If you've stepped one foot into Family Natural Foods, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Wish a good morning to them over there. Stop by Family Natural Foods. They're open right now at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to follow them on social media. And meet us there this Friday.
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Have a great day, Melissa.
Yeah, you too, guys.
Mm-hmm. And you have a good one, Seth.
Thank you very much.
Stick around for Money Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.